Once again, welcome everyone. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for your love of truth and for being this that we are always celebrating. So these gatherings are just a celebration of what is stillness in form, noticing where its awareness is drawn, what it is touched by, what it still has remaining aversions to, which is very natural. So just opening it up to sharing, what do you notice? How is life unfolding for you? So unmuting yourself by pressing star 6, and then when complete, star 6 again.
Pamela?
Yes?
This is Mary.
Hi, Mary. Welcome.
Thank you. I wish to share gratitude because I was totally panicked about my father and some legal matters, and now I'm seeing it wasn't really anything to worry about, that my father had done paperwork saying what his end-of-life wishes were, even though he hadn't passed that information on to us, and so we didn't know, even though we had responsibility, if he was not able to make that decision. But he'd made the decision some years ago. He just forgot to mail it to me and others.
Wonderful that it all resolves itself.
Yes.
Good, good.
Yes. Thank you, Pamela.
Oh, thank you, love.
Bye-bye.
So maybe I will say a little something. It's arising a few times to speak. And just about freedom. I don't think it's any accident that we have a resonance with that, because we are that. We are this freedom that is unlimited and uncontained and already unconditioned. And then the embodiment wants to return back to that. And you might have noticed the mind has some ideas about freedom that may not be accurate. But I like to speak of it as freedom with. Before, I thought it was freedom from. But here we are, this life itself, free to be with everything. Noticing that everything comes to sit with us pretty choicelessly. And after a while, the sage notices its function in the play of embodiment. Each one of us is the balancing function, the clarifying function, pure blessing. The constancy of being and noticing. So at this point, phenomena is trying to invoke us into functioning that way. Maybe the way a mountain welcomes and blesses without doing anything. The way an ocean warmly includes everything. And in a world which we notice changes, we are the unchanging, the one that notices all the comings and goings, the unfolding of life. But each one of us is ever the same from where we abide. So feel free to join the conversation. Life is always having with itself.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
This is Julie.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
I can.
Oh, good. It's working this time. Well, I really just wanted to say that as soon as you started talking, I just kind of, my mind just stilled and the rest of me listened, and that I was so craving that. And before that, when we were attempting to savor the stillness, my mind was just going on about plans and things I could be doing. And then I just, you started talking, it was like, oh yeah, that level of information, but the awareness of the energy that carried through it just felt and feels so soothing. So I'm appreciating that.
Wonderful.
Yeah. I guess that's all.
Okay. Glad you're here.
Me too. I'm glad you're here. Thank you.
Hi, Pamela. This is Vidya.
Oh, welcome, dear.
Hi. Anyway, I just want to say I just love being with you whenever you do these. It's just so helpful. Anyway, I'm just kind of going through a rough time right now.
Okay.
Mostly, emotionally, I'm having to leave my place after 12 years, and I've had a lot of satsangs here. And anyway, it's a lovely place, and I guess I'm really attached.
Yes. Yes, we love what we love, don't we?
Yes, and
yeah.
I mean, I see it, but anyway, I just can't help. I just can't help the sadness.
You can't help but.
I just can't help the sadness. It's,
yes.
Yeah. It's a hard time.
Yeah. And there's nothing wrong with attachment. It's natural.
Yeah. Anyway,
it's another form of love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I guess I do love the place. It's hard to move.
Yes. Yes, I'm experiencing actually the same thing. I'm supposed to move from my darling cottage in a week. And I'm going, no.
Oh, dear.
So know you have a friend in this.
Oh, that's good. I mean, it is hard, especially when you have such a short time to find something, too.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, I just, I've been wanting to say hi for a long time because I listen every month, and it's just so beautiful to be with you in this way energetically and to hear your voice and everybody. And so, anyway, I just wanted to say thank you and, and anyway, we haven't talked for a long time. So.
Yes. Yes, well, good luck with finding a new retreat, gorgeous place.
Well, thank you. I hope you find a good one also.
Thank you, dear.
Okay, I love you.
I love you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Hello, Pamela. This is Lawrence.
Good morning, Lawrence.
I woke up this morning quite early, and early in the morning in bed is usually the time when, you know, whatever wants to be released starts releasing itself, and it comes to the surface and comes into awareness. So, you know, early this morning around maybe 6 o'clock, somewhere in there, I woke up and there was this kind of general, you know, feeling in my body, of kind of, it was very hard to give it a name. Mm-hmm. But if I had to give it a name, it would be separation. There's a kind of a difficulty still with accepting that there are apparently times of expansion and freedom, and then there are times of contraction and processing.
Yes.
And when the contraction or the feeling of separation comes, it's like being kicked out of heaven, you know? It's like, okay, get out of here, and the door slams, and now wandering in the desert again.
Oh, no.
And, you know, it's nothing acute, you know, it's not horrible, but it's a feeling of, oh, it was so beautiful before, and now here I am, you know, thinking about how irritating people can be and how irritating life can be.
Yeah.
And I don't enjoy being back here in this place again.
But, you know, that last part of the confession really sounded like the mind.
It is.
Yeah.
Definitely. The mind is raising a protest.
You know, I have to say that a lot of the mind's protests have some clear seeing in them.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just honoring that the mind notices, you know, the conditioned and the unconditioned the way we do as well.
Yes, it's very acutely aware of that.
That's it. Now, honor the mind's big view.
Yes.
That's a pretty big view to notice and appreciate the unconditioned, the natural, all the harvest and the bounty of life, and then also noticing all the irritants and the smallness and the pettiness in the human tribe. Yeah. So just honoring once again the mind.
The mind seems to enjoy having a big overview of the landscape.
Beautifully
and
said.
Kind of commenting and saying, okay, now you're in this phase and soon that's going to change and you just came out of that. And
oh,
you know,
so it's reporting.
It's
you
reporting.
Know,
it's commenting.
It's funny because that's a little app in the mind. Well, it's not a little app. It's a medium app. Where here you're living life, your life itself, living.
Yeah.
And then there's like you have a reporter in your head that's reviewing. Meanwhile, you're directly experiencing it, so you don't need a reporter.
It's kind of as though it wants to keep track of everything and, you know, give reassurance that there will be a happy ending to this story.
Aha!
It's almost like a fairy tale, you know. We're working towards the happily ever after.
Oh, very
but,
nice.
But still, there are times of wandering in the dark forest.
Yes, yes. So this is very mythic.
It is. It has that quality to it.
Yeah. So you know what you could do if it resonates, if you notice that reviewing function. And the myth-making function, you know, just say yes, 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 thank you, and hush, hush. kind of nip it in the bud, because otherwise it gets sort of in a passionate, you know, writing mood.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wants to make up a story.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it's, you know, it's all here right now. The happily ever after, the smallness in the human tribe and the glory in the human tribe. It's all here right now.
Well, there are times when the mind raises the question, is there a happily ever after, or is it always just a mixed bag of light and dark and sun and shade and pleasure and pain and this and that?
Mm-hmm.
Is there ever going to be what it's really seeking?
Ah, yes. I think you're getting right to the heart of the matter from the mind's view, is that the mind is looking for the ultimate freedom.
It is. And sometimes it has it.
Absolutely, because already the mind itself is free.
Yeah.
So now honor that the mind has a very true longing for balance and harmony and harmlessness and clarity. Really honoring that the mind has the same heart longing.
It has a very deep heart longing, and there's also this thing that it wants to get it done and over with.
Yes, I'll just say yes to that.
It wants to be off the battlefield.
Ah, beautifully said. Yes. And just say, of course you can. This is the great invitation from, I cannot remember, one of the amazing Asian sages of, he said, be neither for nor against. So that's the off the battlefield.
And the thing is that there are very frequent and regular times of just feeling being completely relaxed with what is.
Yes.
And everything is fine and it goes on for a while. And then there's this little feeling in the body of some little bit of tension coming into the stomach. And then the mind says, oh, here we go again.
Yes,
people are irritating.
That's not very helpful when the mind, because the mind is confirming that you're going to get back into the play of comfort, discomfort.
Yeah, it's sort of like it wants to send up a warning and say, okay, one more time, here we go.
Yeah, but
get
it's
ready.
Already also predicting it.
Yeah.
Yeah, so once again, this is where the sage has to be firm. Because there's no here we go again. There's no time, so there's no, you know, yesterday and today and uh-oh, and tomorrow is going to be like this.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, one just beautiful life stream. So just to the mind, no, here we go again, no doom and gloom.
Well, I think that the mind has a hard time accepting that some things just don't feel good, and there are things in life it just does not like, and that's just the way it is.
Yeah, but just in this moment, it doesn't have to accept anything. And it doesn't have to change in this moment. And it's very natural not to like some things.
Yeah.
Like even the lion of God would not like having a thorn in its paw.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be saying, oh, I'm accepting this thorn because it's part of what is. No, it would take its lovely big teeth and pull the thorn out.
Yeah.
Yeah, so just in this moment, tell the mind, doesn't have to do anything, get anything right, protect you from future moments of stress or discomfort?
I think there might be a little bit of a remaining spiritual program, you know, that says, well, you've got to get to this place where everything is just sort of la, 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 very beautiful, accept it all, it's all beautiful.
Yeah.
But it's not all beautiful.
Nicely said.
It's just not.
That sums it up. It's all beautiful and some of it's not so beautiful.
I mean, that just seems to be the present reality.
Yeah. And just keep, you know, you really don't have to at this point help the mind discern on all these things.
Yeah.
Just by soothing or bowing to it.
Yes. Yeah.
It'll clarify everything.
Oh, so maybe just allowing it to have its opinions is okay?
Well, it's more honoring it, because it's just up there muttering.
Yes. Yeah. It can be cranky. Yeah. So bowing to it.
That's it. That's
it. What I need to do. Okay. Good. Yeah. That helps. I totally forgot to bow. Oh, thank you.
When all else fails, bow.
Yes.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Pamela.
Oh, thank you, Lawrence.
Hi, Pamela. It's Joan.
Hey, welcome.
Thank you. I want to give a real deep bow of gratitude to Open Circle for all the people who make this possible.
Yes.
Yes. Thank you, thank you, thank you. I am giving satsang to the notion of purpose, which I think has been around in, well, it's certainly an ancient servant, isn't it? And I feel very confused about what that notion is about and if it actually has any juice or not, if it's just here wanting to see who it really is.
So does it come as a sort of a longing?
Yes.
Okay.
And not. So it's yes and a no to that.
Okay, because I was just trying to discern if it was sort of a longing in the heart and the belly, or if it was more of a thought.
I think it has, well, it certainly has the aspect of longing to it.
Mm. Well, what I love about longing is that if it resonates, I just say yes to it. And then I figure since the longing arises from stillness, from life itself, it can certainly feed it and have it bloom without any help from me, so to speak. So I just say yes if the longing comes up. Yes, yes, yes. Infinite yes to that.
Yes, as you're saying that, I can feel that. I can, and I also notice, oh, then the mind gets in there and wants to take action, figure out what it means, and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. Yeah, but you know what's so great about the impulse, to serve or, you know, that word purpose is that it's, already our resonance to serve or to be creative or to, in whatever area our affinity is, right? Yeah. Longing hasn't bloomed yet. It's like a sprout. It's like one of those beautiful, in my garden I have these wonderful jasmines that send out shoots. So it it's like a shoot rather than a... It hasn't formed yet.
I have morning glories
That's
growing.
It.
same idea.
So we function like warm sunlight when we confirm the longing.
Uh-huh. Yes, and then that I can see how that doesn't disturb the spaciousness.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when the mind gets in and says, okay, let's figure it out, it starts
yeah.
to get quite contracted.
That's it, because the mind's habit, when it tries to figure something out, it was trained to contract.
Right.
To focus, to concentrate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Then that the morning glory doesn't feel like it has space.
Right. Yeah, it can't grow. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
I will sit with this and report back.
Thank you.
Thank you, dear.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Hi, since nobody else is speaking. This is Slavka from Pennsylvania.
Welcome, dear.
Hi, I just wanted to give a report on the saga of my mom.
Mm-hmm.
So she had things that didn't go her way or a lot of fear yesterday, and you know, you can feel her frustration and she and anger or anyway and then so I felt it and I just told myself it's not my stuff, but I mean you could feel it in the house no matter which room you were in. So she started telling me about worrying that her insurance wasn't going to pay for her medical bills and this and that. And so I went downstairs and I said, well, you know, it's, you can't do anything over the weekend with that anyway. So you want to feel stressed out and be in this state of mind. And she said, no. So I said, well, what else can we do? And so she says, well, let's just watch a movie and get our mind off of it. And so it was very interesting that she actually suggested that herself. Like you said, you know, it's okay, but let's have a cup of tea.
Yes, yes.
And so she's starting to do that on her own, noticing that it's like something that can't be solved, and that she's making herself sick by trying to solve something that can't be solved at the moment.
Yeah, and wonderful. And you were functioning as the sage that you are by helping her discern with just that question, that one question, and she came back to her clear seeing. Oh, you're right. I can't do anything about that now. Let's watch a movie.
Well,
actually, there
yeah.
were two discerning questions you asked her.
Yeah.
So good.
So in the past, she would start blaming me for her financial status and this and that and blah, 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 and go in the past history, and now she didn't.
But it's so good that, yeah, you nip it in the bud by just helping her discern.
But it also was because I also realized that, you know, I can feel her all over the house, you know, because there's no way I didn't want to contract and not feel her.
Mm-hmm.
So I just, even though it was extremely painful, the emotion that I was feeling on her behalf, I realized it wasn't my emotion, and so I went to her with that attitude towards her that it wasn't my stuff, and I think that really helped me communicate from my negative emotion.
Yes, you were just communicating from presence.
From presence rather than the emotion that I was feeling. So
wonderful.
So yeah. Oh. I am relief.
Congratulations. That was very skillfully done. Beautiful.
So it seems like, you know, in the past, the way we were programmed as children to be responsible for everybody else's emotions. And so I even though it goes deep and the pain, you don't want the pain, I try to clarify my own pain as just a response to my programming rather than what the truth is. So I said some mantras and I actually asked for truth rather than, you know, cause we try to run away from the pain. And then, it's like I was trying to run away from the pain. And then I said, well, you know what? This pain needs to be, welcomed and seen for what it is. And it's actually not even my pain because I've been used to carrying her pain all my life. And it's like, I want to be free from stuff that's not mine. Does that make sense?
Nicely said.
Yeah.
Yes, yes, yes. Beautiful. And thank you for rooting yourself and then communicating. Very beautifully done.
Yeah.
Oh, hallelujah.
So we're making headway.
Yes, yes, heartway. Very good.
I'm not thinking that in the future we'll be so clear about it. You know what I mean? We'll probably have some ups and downs and stucknesses, but, you know, at least we're seeing it and dealing with it one at a time.
Exactly. Moment at a time.
Yeah.
True, true.
So now I have a dilemma with my daughter-in-law. She tries to outdo me and, she sees negativity where there isn't any, and so, she's got the same kind of stuff going on that my mom does, except I don't know, it's more difficult because my son and my grandchildren are involved too.
But the more you honor your daughter-in-law's true nature, even from a distance, the more she'll relax around you and her mind won't project so much on you.
Okay.
Because the only reason the mind goes into what you're calling negative projections is just to keep you at a distance. Yeah?
She definitely wants. Right. Definitely.
Yeah, but she doesn't want to do that. It's like an automatic survival apps that just kick in.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
And she's as affected by them as you are, and she certainly wouldn't choose all that. None of us would. So here, once again, by honoring her true nature and even honoring her defenses, it'll really balance itself quite quickly.
Okay, yeah, because I did that with my mom. You told me, even when I'm around her and we are not in conflict, I don't know what it is you told me.
Yeah, honor her true nature.
Yeah, true nature. Yeah.
Yeah, presence.
Right.
People feel that and they instantly relax and even the defenses relax.
Okay.
Quite remarkable.
So her true nature, that's clear, that's underneath all of that contraction.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
I just wanted to get clear on what you meant by true nature.
And then I like the mischievous part where you even bow to the contractions, the defenses, because they love that. They're so surprised because everybody else doesn't like them. So, you know, sometimes when I'd go visit my dad, who could be quite prickly, I would go into the room bowing to his conditioning, his defenses, and to his true nature.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and then he would just sparkle.
Okay.
Yeah.
These phone calls are so amazing because I can actually feel what you're saying.
Ah.
See, I feel her contraction, her negativity, but I also feel the remedy and the, well, I'm not, you can't call it a remedy, but you can call it
Well, it is.
Proof.
It is. It's,
yeah, well, yeah.
It's divine medicine.
Divine medicine, yeah.
Yeah, remedy is a nice word. Thank you, dear. Thank you for being the resident sage in your home and in your family.
Oh, thank you so much for your help. Okay, take care. Bye.
Bye-bye.
Pamela?
Yes.
It's Ken.
Hi there.
How are you?
I'm well.
I was just sitting here in the last few minutes. What keeps coming up is the phrase thoughtless awareness. And so I was, I think I mentioned the last time I was talking to you that there was this fear around my memory, which, you know, is probably nothing, but this sort of anxiety comes up around it. And then when I was sitting just now, it's not really about memory, but it's this sense of like, what if there's nothing there? You know, I think that's sort of what the anxiety is. All of a sudden there's, you know, no thought, or I don't know how to describe it exactly, but anyway, the word thoughtless awareness came up, and I was sitting here wondering what exactly would thoughtless awareness look or feel like? And that word freedom you used at the beginning, you know, would it be freedom with thoughts, or would thoughts be gone completely? There would be nothing, only periodically something coming up when it was needed to be said or something needed to be done. So I don't know if that's a question exactly, but
it's not really a question, because just the fact that that phrase thoughtless awareness sort of rose from the stillness to itself, meaning you,
mm-hmm.
It was confirming that was the answer to the worry about, you know, the mind or the memory resting.
Mm-hmm.
So the phrase has a beautiful skillfulness in it, which is so true to stillness, because it says it has awareness in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then, but before that, it's thoughtless, meaning absence of thought, but full awareness.
Mm-hmm.
So the deeper intelligence doesn't require thought to notice, to function, to create, to be practical.
Right.
Thought is, it's all creative, and it is practical, but that, you know, constancy of thought, the restless thought, can rest. And then just pure intelligence,
mm-hmm.
which is who you are, and it's also the true nature of the mind. Ah.
Mm. And it also occurs to me the phrase you often use, which is clear seeing.
Mm-hmm.
Clear seeing would come out of thoughtless awareness.
Yeah, it's actually already there, yeah.
Mm.
And the thoughts just ripple the waters of the clear seeing, so sometimes it doesn't
right.
appear to be there.
Right.
Yes, thought is restless. But, you know, there was another little concern thought had, that no thing or emptiness would be, there would be some deficiency in it rather than a fullness.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, a fear of lack of thought, I guess, or a fear
yeah.
of, yeah, it's like almost an emptiness. There's a sense of that.
Yeah, but not a yummy, spacious emptiness. But
right.
something like, uh-oh.
Yes, exactly.
Uh-oh, I'm not good.
Yeah, it's sort of like emptiness. Uh-oh, there's no one there. Or there's,
mm-hmm.
I'm alone out here at the edge of the cliff, you know,
mm-hmm.
that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, so it's asking you, the mind has its last little concern about full relaxation. It's asking you, is it okay? Or am I going to relax into some deficient, not okay void?
Yes.
It's asking you what's true.
Right. Huh. Well, I could say that the thought is, no, there is nothing to be afraid of, but the feeling is, you know, that sort of, this is, you know, like you want to go here, but wait a minute.
That's right.
Yeah.
So where is that feeling living in your body?
My torso, my chest, probably.
Yeah, so maybe we could go and help it discern, because it's just an echo from the past.
Yes.
And we don't have to know what or where or why.
Right.
But just comforting it, helping it notice what is.
Hmm. Yeah, it does. It feels old. Again, not necessarily needing to know from where, but that's what it feels like. It's like when the anxiety came up, it was almost like, oh yeah, this is anxiety about this particular thing right now, but actually the feeling of the fear is quite familiar from some past.
Yeah.
Like locked in somewhere in my body.
Yeah, it almost like freezes itself in the field.
Yeah.
So just thaw it a little bit with some warm compassion. Because it's also made of innocence and not knowing, and it just got shocked or worried into contracting.
It's funny, I can feel almost a sort of impatience to move through this, I guess.
Now bow to that app until it will get right back with you. Because it will make that innocence that's tight and a little concerned feel pressured. So we don't want it to feel any pressure. It's like, you're here, I'm here, it's okay. Like a timeless Lao Tzu's kind-hearted grandfather.
Yeah, this is actually sort of bringing it up more. I mean, I almost feel sort of a tremulousness in my body. Huh.
Yes. And just thanking it for coming up out of the earth of the past, of the body, and just welcoming it.
It's interesting. It's sort of increasing. And I'm realizing that my past experience with this feeling was to quickly want to get away from it.
Yes. That it's starting to liberate itself, so we're just bearing witness to that. And thanking it and reassuring the body it's safe, it's just the past opening, coming home.
Interesting. What comes up now is that it's harder to include this.
Okay. And
like a lot of things that come up, it's like okay, I can welcome this, I can include this, but this particular feeling is. I'm with it, but it seems. You know, there's a resistance to including it. Perhaps
that's right, yes. And even that is not yours. It's just something moving to defend you from the depths of that feeling. And just reassure it, it's safe, everything wants to come home, or whatever satsang you want to give it.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's a sense of grounding it.
Mm-hmm.
That it's, this particular feeling has a tendency to unground.
Yes.
What comes to mind is my legs and feet and, the, and being on the, you know, connecting to the floor. So.
Yeah. Hmm. Now this that's shaking,
mm-hmm.
at one point was shaken. And so
mm-hmm.
it's coming home, so just stay with it a little longer.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's also made of pure stillness and innocence, but it just got very shaken.
Yeah.
Just comforting it, being with it. And honor its courage, because it's a remarkable expression of courage to come out of where it was retreating or...
Yeah.
To come back into the light of awareness that you are, that it truly is.
Mm.
Very brave.
Yes, the feeling of it is as though the fear in that emptiness is kind of getting filled up in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of being combined with a fullness as opposed to just being empty.
Beautiful feeling. Satsang. Beautiful satsang. Yeah, I've never heard that spoken and noticed, that emptiness and fullness are not two.
So it's funny, it's all moving, and I can still feel a little of that impatience coming up. Okay, now you've done that, let go, you know, stop.
Yeah.
So move on.
I call that one the herding app. It's like one of those
the herding app.
Yeah, herd, like those little herd dogs that just want to get all those.
Yeah.
Everybody going.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's time itself. It doesn't understand that this being within is timeless and there's no rush and it's an honor to be with something as it returns back.
Right.
Thank it.
Yeah, there's nothing to get on to, is the sense. Yeah.
Very nicely said.
Yeah.
No time, no rush.
Wow. Yeah, I think there's still... I feel more sort of centered or situated in a sense, and there's still some shakiness, sort of, almost like, when a dog gets up, it shakes itself off, it's
yes.
That kind of...
That's exactly what this is doing, it's shaking the past off.
Yeah.
So just some steady gratitude. Thank you for staying with it so timelessly.
Yeah, thank you. Okay.
Okay.
Thanks, Pamela.
Thank you, dear.
Bye.
Bye.
Hi, Pamela.
Hello.
Hi, this is Diane.
Hi, Diane. Welcome.
Thank you. I think the main place that I'm, well, there's a lot, but the one that I wanted to focus on is I'm feeling somewhat restricted around money with a lot of changes lately of a tenant roommate deciding to move out and not knowing whether I, you know, want to get another roommate or whether I want to come up with the extra money, which initially I got really excited about. And then there's this other end where if I make a lot of money, then I'm afraid that my daughter's financial aid, she won't have any financial aid. And so all these years I feel like I've been kind of putting my daughter first and not making a lot of money, and I feel in such a bind around that, like I don't know how to get out of it in
okay.
my head.
So can you feel that the mind is worrying?
Mm-hmm, definitely.
Yeah. And then the body starts to tighten, yeah? And
mm-hmm.
a little restless. So just reassure, it's like you're going to give satsang inside, just reassure everybody that nobody has to make any decision in this moment. And just see if that resonates. It might be a different satsang you want to give inside in this moment.
Well, there's a lot of overwhelm.
Yeah. So just scooping that up. Just holding it a bit. Some compassion for the gorgeous sensitivity of the body and the worried love of the mind. Just reassuring, we're safe. This moment is safe.
I have a hard time even sometimes finding that place.
The place of the loving kindness or the place of
safety? No, just the place of safety, you know, because I have some health challenges and so there's just and so many things I have to deal with.
Yes. But first we want to, what appears to be weighing on your sweet body mind is worry.
Yes.
Yeah.
It all kind of comes to that.
So just in this moment, just say worried love is welcome here. And it doesn't have to be sincere. We're just honoring the worry as love. And that worry is trying its best to help.
Makes me want to cry, though. And then I feel kind of embarrassed.
No, that's all right. We're all the same. So we've
I know.
All met this. Just in your own way, let it know, everything know, that you're here. You as this warm, benevolent space, you're here. Then everything can kind of come rest.
It's a little hard because there's some judgment about, there's just some judgment about it, about the situation being what it is.
Okay. And now judgment is just one of your servants, right? But as soon as judgment is stressed, it won't be clear. Yeah? So just to judgment, rest. Let's all rest. And nothing has to rest, or nothing has to know how to rest. You're just inviting it. It's a very spacious invitation. There's no pressure. Let's all rest. Let's all rest.
Okay, I noticed. Okay, so I have to say, this is what is coming up is, okay, if I rest, then I'm going into, well, I've got so much to get done in a few, not right this second, but in a few minutes, I feel like it's almost like, how can I rest now when I feel like I'm behind and I have to get everything done today? Or
yeah, and just comfort. These are all things that we picked up from school. This contracting to function, contracting to figure it out, pressure to perform, and just comforting all that. It's just like if you were working with a rescue animal, you would, if it was possible, just stroke it. It's okay. It's okay. Thank you for your love. Sometimes that's all I say inside if all the apps and the servants are up in arms, so to speak. Thank you for your love. And then I promise to be practical. Thank you for your love. Sounds like a lullaby. Thank you for your love. I promise to be practical.
That helps if I can say them both like that.
Yes, exactly, because mine makes them into either or you're going to be a luminous
right
saint at rest and completely impractical. Or you're going to be a stressed, productive human being.
I often feel like I flip-flop between those. You know, I can be in bliss and not want to do anything for hours, and then I kind of go into the other extreme mode of, like, you know, that doesn't feel like a very good way to do it.
It's good that you notice that, though. It's very few people notice that. So we're bringing them together. Resting and practicality, or resting and being practical, are welcome here. Because, I mean, naturalness is very practical. I don't know where the mind got the idea that, you know, sages are impractical. Maybe there were a couple of way too mellow sages that scared the mind. But here we're just including it all. So it likes that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's starting.
The body and the mind.
Yeah, it's starting to rest more.
Good, good, good. And just thank it for resting, because it's actually, it was just a few moments where it heard the deeper truth and it instantly started unwinding. So that's quite remarkable. I say thank you, thank you.
That's true. It is pretty, it's good to notice how quickly it can shift.
Yeah. Yes.
Thank you, thank you.
Yeah. And maybe now it can let in, the field of the embodiment can let in that it's safe to rest and be practical. It's safe to rest and be practical. Or you'll find your own words that really nourish.
Yeah, that's very helpful.
So anytime you notice your servant worry coming, just quickly say something like, thank you for your love, or being practical. You know, before it sort of builds into a frantic state.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. You want to kind of, before it takes center stage, the worry, you want to give it a little satsang.
That makes a lot of sense, yes.
Mm-hmm.
and maybe look at where I am, if I am procrastinating too much in certain areas, maybe that's part of it.
Well, you can notice that, and you can also invoke more of the practical intelligence is welcome here. Clear seeing is welcome here.
Oh, I like that too.
Yeah. And the more you honor your body and your mind, the more they return back to their natural balance. Because they are remarkably giving, the body and the mind. They're both pure service, pure intelligence. Same presence, same divine presence that all of life is. And it's rare that we honor our own being in form and formlessly.
And if the mind is worried or critical, how do you honor that? More, we just
well, it's once again, as soon as it starts to worry and get itself into a state, it keeps tightening and tightening.
Right.
And then it'll start to pounce on you.
Yeah?
Like, and once again, it's the same rescue animal. A rescue animal will bite first, and then so we're just soothing it, you know? It's okay, thank you, yes, you love me so much. You want to bite me and help me and figure everything out.
So in a way, honoring it is sending it soothing energy,
it.
Saying word.
Whatever, it will be your own unique satsang.
Right.
As compassion. But pressure turns anything into something that snaps and bites and... So eventually you can even give satsang to pressure.
Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, dear.
Thank you so much.
Hi, Pamela. Is there time for one more?
Sure.
Hi, this is Drew Ann.
Hi, Drew Ann.
And I love what you were... Well, I love the whole hour and a half. So, picking up on giving pressure satsang, so with that intention... When there's, you know, the mind's lining up the to-do and it's already on to the next task in the middle of, you know, three tasks back.
So that's the future app. Rush, rush, rush.
So when it's running at full speed, then what? Just yes, 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 there's another task. Thank you for alerting me. And we're going back to now.
That's a good satsang. But, you know, it's more like finally you have to sit with the apps that are activating the rush, rush, rush. So at one point I noticed that would be the thing that was, for me, getting my embodiment back into contracting and nervous was, I called it the rushing and racing and lack of time app. And it's a perception, and then it activates everything in the body. But it, you know, it's an inaccurate perception. Because when we relax, time expands, and when that other rushing, racing thing, time contracts. So just honor all those helpful, I'm being mildly facetious, apps. There, once again, it's the herding thing, trying to get you as vast timelessness in form to hurry up. I mean, oh.
So that's really brilliant. Back to the core.
Yeah, you always want to work from the roots, because otherwise we're up in the branches of the tree of life and you could just be up there pruning for millennia.
Well, when I sense into it now, when I say, all right, our nature is timeless, then there's an automatic, yeah, but you have to be there at 2, so get going. And then the argument is so convincing.
Yeah, now just noticing that your personal secretary, that part of the identified mind, loves you very much and wants you to show up on time. You say, yes, yes, yes. We like being on time.
Yes, yes.
Mm-hmm. Now, if there are some impractical habits that you have gotten into regarding lateness or anything like that, then that's why it would be a little extra loud. Is there anything within you that seems to postpone getting on time?
No, but there is a part of me that's afraid of being late.
Oh, okay. Yeah, so you definitely want to sit with that, because that's from the past. So basically there are these crystallizations from the past in the field of relaxation. So that one is sort of sending out a little alarm. Come here, come sit with me.
Okay, and then just acknowledging, yes, there's fear of being late, and yes, 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 and more of a soothing, it's okay that you're afraid of being late.
And but also agree with it, see, because underneath its fear of being late is that it loves being on time, because that's respectful. We say yes, yes, yes. But then also there's some threat that got linked in from the past. Some perception of threat or danger or... So that you want to liberate.
And if it's not fully conscious, then how sitting with it while it unravels and then presents itself?
Well, it doesn't have to be conscious. You're just noticing that something feels threatened by being late or scared of that. We don't have to know a thing. We're just inviting it closer.
Okay, yeah. I can feel the opening, and just the acknowledgement to it, it opens it, validates it, or, I don't know, welcomes it home. Yeah.
Yeah, that's it. See, once again, this is just compassion being with any remaining suffering. And it doesn't matter how mundane the suffering is, it's still suffering.
Yeah. Okay, very good.
Mm.
Yeah, and then there's a centralized expansion around the heart, and pushing relaxes.
Ah, very nice. Thank you for staying with that. I could feel almost like this deep relaxation move through the whole human tribe. Because that rushing, racing, lack of time, pressure thing is one of the mischief makers that maintains identification and postpones that deep relaxation and return to naturalness. So you found one of the main mischief makers.
Thank you. I'm going to sit with this. It's still kind of unwinding, and there's a, like, yeah, there's a whole body tingling with this mm-hmm. availability of freedom. Thank you.
Gorgeous. And also it's, you know, there's that little alarm function in the nervous system, and it can get triggered or invoked by the smallest of pressures. You know,
yeah.
Like, oh my God, we're out of milk. You know, danger, danger. Whatever. It's so that's also being with that really perception of danger or alarm in the nervous system as well. These are very, very ancient things that want to relax back into just clear seeing and present moment awareness. As you say, they want to come home.
Very good. Thank you.
Wonderful. So I just really want to finish with a deep, deep bow of thank you to everyone. All the friends all over the world that are sitting with all these human habits and misunderstandings in the human condition. And that's such a clue, that phrase, the human condition, as opposed to the human unconditioned. So just thanking you all for noticing these tightnesses, these worried misunderstandings, these kind of kinesthetic habits of defending or bracing or protecting. Just as your warm, clear awareness notices them, instantly there's, if we stay with it for a few heartbeats longer, there's a transmission that starts to happen, that balances that which is imbalanced, that invites that which was shunned or rejected, that clarifies that which was muddied or confused. So each one of us is this, the friend, the Maitreya, that invites everything back to its naturalness. So a deep bow of gratitude for being a friend within. We certainly are that in the world and in our families and at work, with our loved ones. But to be a friend within, the root of freedom and the root of the word friend are the same. Old English, Old German, frei means free. To be a friend is to invite everything to be free. Not just this sparkling pure awareness that we are, but everything that was in service to it, the contracted to serve. So thank you for your love. Thank you for your constancy of presence and noticing and compassion. For uncontaining the blessing that you are. I also want to thank East Bay Open Circle and Kate today for hosting us. And I will pass this hosting back to Kate.
Thank you, Pamela. Yeah, pleasure, and thank you, everyone. Also, thank you, Joan, for those words of appreciation. It's a gift to be able to do this. And please join us for Pamela's next Sunday satsang on October 5th. And she's also joining us again on October 19th. So, you would like to unmute yourself, we'll try it this way. It seemed to work well to say goodbye. Feel free to do that, and hopefully we will sit with you again soon.
Thank you, Pamela. Thank you, Open Circle.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank
Bye-bye,
you, Pamela.
Pamela. Thank you. Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you,
Pamela.
Thank you,
Pamela.
Thank you, Pamela.
Thank you, everyone.
Love you.
Thank you.
Thank you,
everyone.
Pamela. Good luck moving.
Oh, thank you.
Bye.
Bye. Y'all radiate into each other, Rich and Imperial Beach.
Yummy.
Thank you, Pamela.
This is definitely an open circle. Nicely said. So I'm going to sign off, and much gratitude, Kate, and to all.